4, Victor Whiskey Alpha, mobile, Inman, monitoring.
KN4VWA, W4DJW.
DJW, KN4VWA. What's all this white stuff out here?
I didn't know there was any white stuff out there. I looked out a little while ago and there was nothing but rain. You seeing white stuff?
Visibility here on Asheville Highway at Gowan Road towards Grambling is just about a quarter mile.
You must be talking about fog.
Quite out, but yeah, it sure is dreary. I feel a bad case of the mold coming on. That sunshine over the last few days in Nashville just helped knock it out. But I got back here and I'm getting moldy again.
Well, that'll make you appreciate spring when it gets here. It's just right around the corner.
True statement if I ever heard it. I tell you what, it's going to be nice when I can get my bike back out again, man. I tell you, I was right on the verge of getting it out the other day. I gotten up to about 50 or 55. I started to call KB4CBA and say, hey, let's go for a run. But it just didn't quite get up there to where I wanted it to be. So how cold do you ride, Dave?
Nowhere near as cold as it used to. I think the coldest I've ever ridden was 8 degrees outside. And I rode almost 30 miles from Donaldson Center to Traverse Rest with a ski suit on. One of those big heavy ones, not one of the lightweight ones, the big heavy full body suit and the helmet and the gloves. And it was cold.
Well, these days it's got to be pretty much at least right at 60 before I'll go out.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be more like 70 for me. I don't want to get all bundled up like that. I want to be comfortable when I ride. I prefer riding in the heat wave where it feels like you're in front of a hairdryer opposed to freezing cold.
Fellas that would say, can I get an amen on that? Oh, me. Well, so how's everything on the repeater going?
It's going pretty good. We got a training session this Saturday from 10 till 2 if you want to come by and learn how to be a net controller.
That old saying about TV guys, they've got a face for radio. Well, I've got a voice for staying in the background.
Now, all you never know till you try it. You ought to give it a whirl.
That just might be a possibility. The only problem right now is I'm trying to keep Mama happy, and I'm doing my extra class, and I'm gonna pass that extra, and I'm gonna try to pass it before May 16th, actually before the 1st of May, and that's when my daughter gets married. So I've got the wedding, my wife, keeping her happy, keeping her supplied with the wedding stuff, and doing my extra class all at the same time. So my plate is quite full.
Well, that's supposed to happen that way when you retire, right? You're supposed to try to figure out where you had time to work when you're in retirement. So you got to keep that plate pretty full.
Hey, David, did I ever tell you the story about my dad after he retired?
I think you told me a little bit about that.
Starting about 10 months into his retirement, he calls back over to the office one afternoon and says, Steven, call back over here to the house and tell your mother you got to have me. I got to come over and help you. I said, well, Dad, what's wrong? Y'all having a tip or something? He says, no, she's killing me. I'm going to come back to work to relax.
And that is as it should be. That's what retirement is for. Take full advantage of it.
My mom took full advantage of the situation. She worked him hard. I mean, it was about like when I bought the house in Greer. Every time Southern Living magazine would show up, oh, look at this. Could you build me this out in the backyard? After about the fourth or fifth thing that I put out in the backyard trying to fix things up at that new house. Southern Living Magazine came and had one of those little plastic lined ponds. I said, honey, you let me know when you get the hole dug.
Well, it keeps life interesting. That's for sure. So let's see, you got, you never did tell me why the SWR on your antenna went really high. You were going to tell me, but then something interrupted. What happened there?
Well, after a while, you know, I had forgotten that the bandwidth on that particular band was not as wide as on the other band. So just as soon as I hit about 7225, it just skyrockets and goes out. By the time I get to about 7180 or 90, it's out to infinity. And I've never seen one go that far that fast. And I attributed it to an issue with the antenna. No, it's just that bandwidth in that area there.
Okay, I do remember you telling me that now. But I'm going to remind you of what you said before when you ordered it. But the manufacturer said it's flat all the way across the band. Reality, huh?
Times can be very fickle. What can I say? But, you know, there again, oh, I got my, I took a inch PVC Schedule 40 and put it down inside an inch and a half or inch and a quarter PVC Schedule 40 so that I'd have a good rigid piece. And I basically put a yard arm on the top of my antenna up there. And I installed a pulley on the end of it. And I've got a, I got that Maxcon dipole. I'm going to use it as an inverted V. I'm going to run it up and down with a rope and pulley. And let me ask you my next question. That just brought this question to light. I'm trying to figure out how to maintain the ability to roll that antenna up and down the pulley by the ballon and not have a great deal of stress on the feed line.
How far are you talking about up and down the pulley?
Well, the yard arm is going to be at about 46 feet.
Well, that's a lot. I was going to say fix it at the center of the position that it's going to be traveling past when it goes up or down. Fix it at the center and leave enough play in it for it to be fully extended in either direction when you hit your limits, right? So put enough play in it for it, fix it at the center so that it, all it's doing is just going, you're flexing it the minimum amount possible and leave enough play for fully extended to each end and no more.
Yes, KN4VWA. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But that still leaves that, let's see, that'd be about 20 feet. That would still be able to flap in the breeze. And from my current supplier, I have had those PL-259s kind of pull apart.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, how to attach it to the ballon so that the stress isn't on the PL-259, so that the stress is on the coax itself. Use one of those Killam strips or whatever they call those things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it loops in and out, and then attaches. I think I know what you're talking about. Then I can attach that to the, well, no, I can't attach that to the yard arm. I guess I could attach it to the top of the ballon.
That's what I was thinking. Somehow stretch it open so that it can go around the ballon and then tighten it to the ballon. And so it's like a pair of Chinese handcuffs between the ballon and the coax. And the PL-259 is in the middle at where the ballon and the coax meet. PL-259 is there, and the Killam strip is attached to the, it's like your fingers inside Chinese handcuffs. When they try to pull apart, that strip will take up all the stress, not the joint.
What about this, Dave? Now, the Ballon is a PVC body. Do you think there would be enough grip there with one of those cable grips to put around the body of the Ballon and then just tuck the feed line up inside that? Nah, I don't know. It'd probably slip down on the PVC body, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you don't want to make any sharp bends in your coax if you don't have to. You want to keep the bends a nice, clean radius. You don't want to turn it 180 degrees that fast. You want it to just hang straight down out of the Ballon, then go up into its attached point and down into your shack. Keep the bends in the coax gentle.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that either on that. So that's not a good way to go. All right, well, it looks like I'm going to be doing a relief over the top of the Ballon through the eye that the Ballon hooks to the pulley with. That's what I'll have to do. Or not hooks to the pulley, but hooks to the rope with. Yep. All right, that's got that solved, and I'll go about halfway, and then that'll still allow me to droop it down, and that'll cut the weight of the cable to basically half of what it would have been. Not bad. You know, you're a smart guy sometimes.
Well, when you get doing it, it might look a little bit different. That's just when you're visualizing it in your head. But as you start doing it, you might find out that there's a better way. That's the way I usually do. Take an approach and start doing it and look for optimization as you go.
Sometimes I just got to be on the spot and think through it the same way. Of course, then again, I've sat up in the middle of the bed in the middle of the night going, "Oh, you dummy, why didn't you think of that when you were awake?"
Back when I worked at Michelin, I used to do that. And sometimes when I was contracting before I settled in for being employed by a company, I'd wake up in the middle. I'd be studying on a problem really hard and trying to figure out the best way to do it. And my eyes would just pop wide open in the middle of the night. And I'd think, that's how you do that. And then I'd get up and I'd go write it down. Or I'd even write the pseudocode for the software, and then I go back to bed. And the next day when I got up and I wrote it, it would work. So that tells you your subconscious is working even when you're sleeping.
Well, that'd be true, but I'm kind of psychoactric. I used to do that when I was... And I used to know this... you may have known him. My senior year, there was a guy, his dad was a psychiatrist, and, I was friends with him and his dad, and I told him I'd do that when I was working on a problem or something, and he says, that's called a Curlian loop. I don't think that's actually what it was called, but anyhow, you just get stuck going over and making the same mistake over and over and over in your head, and you don't really see the out until you get away from it. So many times I just get up, walk away from an issue or a problem. You know, back when I smoked, I'd go smoke a cigarette or I'd go get a soft drink. About 5 or 10 minutes, come back and go, oh, you stupid. That's how you do it.
That is exactly right. That's exactly how I did it. Same principle. Sometimes when we were working late, so there would be like 3 or 4 of us that really focused on the programming of the parts or the software that the programmers use to program the parts that run the machines that build the mold. And we'd be bouncing ideas off each other's head, and nothing was working. And then somebody would say, let's go smoke. We'd go outside and you'd talk about something totally different, and then somebody would snap their fingers and say, here's how we're going to do it. And it would work. That's really cool how that works.
Tell you what, the human mind will always be a mystery. Well, listen, bud, I've destinated. I enjoyed talking to you this morning. One of these days I'll get you back over there so you can get a chuckle on how I did this. I will tell you this before I go. I managed to talk to Italy and Zambia. So that rotatable dipole, I'm kind of pleased with that thing. I think it's doing well. So anyhow, I will talk to you later. 73s and W4DJW, KN4VWA. I'm clear after your final, big guy.
All right, well, good talking to you this morning. And, you know, like Ray used to say, or Gary still says it, if it's either going to radiate or it's a bird perch. Sounds like yours is radiating. That's pretty cool. Good to hear it. KN4VWA, W4DJW, clear. Was that you, Kevin? W4DJW. Nothing heard. W4DJW, clear. W1RAR, W4DJW. I thought I heard somebody. A garbage truck just went by. I was getting my jacket on and going to go pull the can in, and I heard somebody talking. I thought it was Kevin calling. Was that you?
Just getting on the road, going to head to a meeting in Greenville.
Okay, well, I was just headed out to the yard, but I heard somebody in there, so I thought that might have been Kevin calling, but I wasn't sure. But anyway, be safe on your travels in there. I got to go pull in the garbage can. W4DJW.
David, talk to you soon. W4DJW, W1RAR Mobile will be on the side.